Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Albert Breer wrote in his NFL takeaways on SI that he believes that the Browns, and I believe, will Albert be on today on Afternoon Drive? I know it's summer, so
I don't know.
Right yeah, now. It pops and shoots on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, things like that. So that's why you listen to The Fan all day long, to hear Albert Breer later on this afternoon. He could pop up at any time, folks. He could do a run-in at any time. You have no idea. But Albert did write an SI in his Monday Morning Quarterback NFL takeaways. He said that the Browns have left some clues about their quarterback competition. He says the biggest one has come out in the distribution of reps, or lack thereof, to 40-year-old veteran Joe Flacco. And he says, to me, even more so, it's about how Flacco has digested his limited dose of them. And Flacco, in quotes, has said, you know, I'm 18 years in. Do I need all these reps? They'd like to ramp him up as time goes on. He says, in poking around, this isn't very long. In poking around, my rough translation is that Flacco's on the same page as Kevin Stefanski. He's not coming back at his age to hold a clipboard. There are some changes to the offense with new coordinator Tommy Rees. They go on. Doing it this way, with how they're going to do these reps, requires some trust on Flacco's part. But he and Stefanski have had good rapport, and that's why I'd regard, being Albert, I'd regard this almost as a first-round bye in the Browns quarterback derby. It'd be hard to enter the summer with all four guys on level ground and let them compete while also getting the other 10 guys in the offensive huddle ready to play an NFL season. So spring evaluation brought a shot to thin the herd. And he writes about Joe Flacco there and how Joe Flacco would be his leader. Where there has been this difference where I started to believe, and I did not want to, because Joe Flacco would always be the guy that I start. But it's like, man, would they start Kenny Pickett? Would they just start Kenny Pickett and have Joe be the backup? Because it's like, hey, you want to see what this 27-year-old can do. Joe wouldn't have to be replaced because of poor play. But I'm thinking, man, there's just so much respect that the veterans, you've kept veterans on this team. So you haven't made it, you've clouded it up. You haven't made it abundantly clear that this is a rebuild. I think a lot of fans believe it should be, especially with two rookie quarterbacks, but they have clouded it up there. So when you have veterans on that team, guys approaching double-digit years or even double-digit in years like Joel Bitonio, they respect Joe Flacco. It's not that they don't respect the other three guys. It's just more easy to respect a guy like Joe.
I'm just not sure I would understand why you would have Pickett and Flacco, because in the end, that is automatically going to cut into the ways to develop the two rookies that you drafted. And then you're left at the end of the year. Okay, let's say you have let's say you go 7-10 or 6-11, right? Which would be actually better than expected. That is better than anybody around the country that does odds for a living thinks you're gonna do. So you do that, Pickett plays the whole season, you do that, all right, well then you haven't developed either rookie, and now you have two picks next year. You can make your biggest swing since the Watson trade, and then since drafting Baker Mayfield number one overall, you have a chance to make your biggest swing for a quarterback in what is supposed to be a much more robust quarterback draft. Then, so isn't that a failing by the organization then, Ken, was the case?
How's it a failing then if what?
Because if what? Now you've won, in just my hypothetical, you haven't seen anything out of your third round pick or your fifth round pick. You have guys like Wyatt Teller, Joel Bitonio, you know, playing their last games. So it's like, hey, we built up the culture. We're back to not a winning culture, but a culture of, you know, we're not giving up, we're not tanking, we're not doing any of that. Yeah, but those guys are gone. Your veterans are gone. You know, Njoku, he's probably gone. Like, you're going up and down the roster going, well, what was the point of this year? What did you get accomplished? What was the point of winning 7 games in my hypothetical? Like, what did you truly do?
Well,
all right, you saved the job at Kevin Stefanski. Okay. That's probably the case.
I tell you what.
Andrew Berry, you've saved the job.
Have we?
But what are you doing at quarterback?
Well,
Wait, Kenny Pickett's your quarterback year?
Well, I have a different question then. I didn't mean to set it off like this. I don't know if Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are a package deal. I think there's absolutely a world you could live in where you would say, hey, they won seven games. Let's evaluate both these guys. Kevin, we've ran it his way. They have been moderately to actually successful with Kevin running this offense, running this football team over the last 6 years. Can we say the same thing about Andrew and what he's done? I mean, these are big things that we should probably wait until January to do, because I still think everybody has a nasty taste in their mouth over what's happened, or we're trying to look forward to a season and what's to actually come. But I could seriously look at them and go, hey, we hired Kevin before we hired Andrew. If we're moving on from anybody, if we have to move on from anybody, then we have to talk about trust. Do you trust Kevin? Well, if you get him to 7 or 8 wins, for crying out loud, you probably trust Kevin. But if you're getting to 7 or 8 wins with those ingredients, do you trust Andrew? Because if you get to 7 or 8 wins, you're using both those draft picks to move up and take your quarterback, right? Do I trust Andrew to evaluate that QB? Do I trust him to do so? As of right now, everybody in their car is probably saying no. So I don't think that they are a package deal the way that a lot of us think.
Yeah, I've always assumed they
were. I think they could split them.
I've assumed they were, because I haven't really seen any reporting or seen any kind of activity that would show that, like, Stefanski has gained power
now
within the organization. Have you seen that?
No. But I would
despite
also look at
despite two coach
it,
of the years? I mean, normally when a coach...
Usually they do.
Yeah, normally when a coach does that, and
they
exceeds...
They don't have to give up their offense.
We're not talking about who's calling the plays.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen any indication that
totally
it's anything
it that
other
way
than a package deal.
Well, you could always look at it and go, hey, if they won 7, 8 games, which, boy, that seems to be asking a lot. If they were to win 7, 8 games, well, Kevin had to do it with some ingredients, so that means that some of the draft picks that Andrew made ended up being successful. That DeJuan Jones over at left tackle, which is a weird thing, if I could just specify that for a moment. You took Jed Wills, who was a right tackle, made him a left tackle. That ended up being a bust. And then you took DeJuan Jones, who was in the fourth round, a right tackle, ended up making a left tackle. And if he hits, it's like, where do I give credit to? Do I give credit to Andrew because he found a guy in the fourth round that ended up being a starting quality left tackle for you in the league? Or do I give him less because he had to replace his number 10 overall pick at one point? So I don't know where to stand on that with a lot of fans. Just see how you'll think of Andrew Berry. But if you won 7 or 8 games, I just don't think that they're a package deal in that case. I think a lot of us are wanting to look at it and go, what's this all matter? So for a fan, you know, I want to ask a fan, is starting Joe Flacco a waste of time for them? Because I don't think it's a waste of time for the guys in the locker room. I think they want to win as many games as they possibly can. They don't want their time wasted because they're not thinking about 2026, 27, and beyond. But I do think for a lot of fans, I can't sit there and deny it and even tell them they're wrong. Will they feel it's a waste of time if they were to win 7, 8 games and have Joe Flacco start the season? I think that that's a very ugly battle to fight. I think it's a tough battle for me to fight. Because you would think you know, Lima, what veterans are thinking. But I think for the fans, they want to look forward to something. Joe Flacco is not the future. Kenny Pickett, I think a lot of fans don't think is the future. Dylan Gabriel, I can try to get excited about Dylan Gabriel.
It sounds like you agree with me then. You wouldn't want it makes no sense to have the two veteran quarterbacks.
From a grand scheme of things, it doesn't. But they have those guys now because you're in this weird mode where you're evaluating coach and general manager, but you're also trying to look forward to the future and figure out, do you want these guys drafting your next quarterback? Because you're still taking a quarterback next year as of right now, aren't you? Or you're not taking a quarterback as of right now? I'm asking a question. Are you taking a quarterback right now in April's draft?
Yeah, almost assuredly.
So almost assuredly we are. But you have these two other rookies.
That's what I mean.
That you have. And so I'm trying to do three things. Evaluate my coach, my general manager, and my quarterbacks, even though I got a veteran that everybody respects, and they're going to want him to run the offense to at least start the season. Do you understand how much that's going to frustrate a Browns fan? That's going to really frustrate a Browns fan. I don't think, above all, I think a Browns fan doesn't want their time wasted. I think that right now, they're going to feel like their time is wasted. I can get a little bit excited about Dylan Gabriel. Again, Shedeur Sanders, you see the videos. Kids love him. People love him. It's a force. It's going to be hard to deny that young man a shot at starting at some point this year. I don't know, week one, but it's going to be hard to deny him a chance at starting at some point. But for a fan, you're the general manager that never gets fired. I think you look at it. I have to admit this, even though I don't want to agree, because we see the inside of that locker room from time to time We know Joel. We know that Joel doesn't want to come back and just lose for the 2026 draft, considering his career is probably done after this year. But I think for a fan, you're going, what's the point of any of this? I'm evaluating a coach who more than likely they don't trust. The same thing with the general manager. I got these two rookie quarterbacks that, hey, nothing against them, but if we got two different people in charge for next year, we're probably still going to be going after a quarterback. And I think to a man, every single fan is still drafting a quarterback.
I hate to break it to anybody. My goals right now this year are not to cater the whole season to Joel Bitonio, Wyatt Teller, Jet Conklin, the guys that are leaving. The goals have to be to make sure that you're setting yourself up for if you've got a big shot to pounce on a quarterback next year, then doing that or, you know, a way to support if one of these quarterbacks emerge, way to support them with two picks that are going to be at the top of the first round, hopefully.
For the fans, I don't think it's this way for the team, but for the fans, is Joe Flacco starting a waste of time? 216-474-0092.
Hot potato, hot potato. Hot potato, hot potato. Hot potato, hot potato. Potato, 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 potato.
The clown refusing to leave the circus said we'll have to wait until about 8:22 this morning. We will get back to this Joe Flacco starting and whether or not it's wasting your time because it's taken off like wildfire. But I never heard this song before. This is what you're going to see tonight.
Tonight, the Wiggles, legendary Australian. I think they started on local TV there like 30 plus years ago. And now they're making their way into Cleveland, which I never had heard of the Wiggles. Like some people I knew actually grew up with like the VHS or the
DVDs.
They've
been around since we were probably too old.
It says 1991.
Yeah. But they've been on public TV
I was five. I wasn't too old.
There were some Sesame Street crossovers, I believe, which catapulted them into some success. And then basically every video they put out gets over a million views. These guys are, whoever the leader is, they're millionaires.
This is not the point of the deal, but this is not the Wiggles, Anthony. This is not your grandfather's Wiggles that I...
Yeah, what version...
That my children watched, that I took my children to when they were...
Yeah, I'm not sure what version I'm going to be seeing tonight.
Oh, I think you're getting the new lineup.
They have farmed out the Wiggles. They farmed out the Wiggles.
Well, there's one guy, I think, still one original Wiggle, and then his daughter, and it looks like 48 other Wiggles. There's just so many Wiggles right now. Maybe you'll have somebody to party with tonight.
If you're gonna sing all that, it better be lucrative. So they better be laughing all the way to the bank about all that stuff. Because
I think about that all the time. All these
that's rough.
All these we're sucked into a vortex, and because of the algorithm, it just moves on to the next thing, and it exposes you to some new stuff, and they all have millions of views. So they're all these people that figured out, hey, we're going to do music, we're going to do some animation. They all have hired like really good animators to work with their videos. It's not a bad way to go. If you're a content producer and you struck out in Hollywood or the music industry, just either write books for kids or do videos for kids, and you got a chance. Because they don't have the discerning taste, I guess.
I'm looking at this picture. Every one of these people wanted to be the next like solo star.
100%. Yeah.
And they ended up joining the Wiggles. And they're, I'm not hammering you for making a lot of money. You go ahead and you make that money. Because you can make a lot. Like Miss Rachel. No doubt in my mind, Miss Rachel, who I don't know who really she is. I imagine she wanted to be the next Sarah McLachlan.
No, I think she was just a teacher.
Being Miss Rachel.
She was just either a teacher.
She was a teacher?
Or a speech pathologist or something.
I'm looking at it right now. It says they were birthed out of the Cockroaches, which was a pub rock band in Australia.
That's right. I looked that up before. So their band didn't make it. And so they're like, well, let's just, kids don't have the same taste. So let's see if we work out for kids.
Yeah. It's the entire thing of King of the Hills, John Redcorn, RIP, where they had Big Mountain Fudge Cake, and then he became a children's singer. And then he ended up going on to making a lot of money as a children's singer. It's coming back August 4th, by the way. I can't wait. So you're going to this tonight. Where's this at?
Somewhere in Playhouse Square. Okay. I'm not sure which theater.
And you're taking your oldest. Mace Dog's not coming.
Just Izzy.
And the question was, are you allowed to have a beer?
Yeah.
Or seven.
I told my wife, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna have a few. She's like, why? I'm like, because it's a night out on the town. She goes, but it's a kids thing. You're going to be around nothing but kids. You can't be, You can't be drinking around kids. And I'm like, well, I'm not getting drunk. I'm just to, you know, get me in the mood to where I can dance, because there will be dancing. I mean, I will absolutely be dancing tonight.
You will definitely act out of character for yourself, right?
Yeah.
I think in the moment, you end up trying to enjoy it, because you can sit there and be the old curmudgeon with your arms crossed.
No, I'm not going to do that, because I want to have fun.
That's no fun, right?
I am not going to. First of all, I don't care if anybody's like staring at me. Why is he dancing? Like, well, why are you here?
Oh, there's going to be a ton of that.
Right. We're all going to be having fun. The whole point is to make it passable. Like, if you take a kid to a kid's movie, you want it to be written to where, yes, the kids are entertained, but also you are entertained.
I agree with you. I know I'm sitting here just because I'm cold, because the AC is right on me. So I'm sitting here with my arms crossed, and I'm like, because I don't know about the Wiggles. I know of them, but I didn't know anything about this music at all. But like, when it came to Disney, like, I used to go, why are you guys like insulting me? Like, my wife and like our good friends, who I'm the godfather of their son, you know, the ones that we're actually close to, not like Lima, who didn't make me the godfather of his children. You guys think I'm just going to be some stick in the mud? This, everything for kids is expensive. So yeah, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to be in the middle of this, and I might as well make the best of this situation.
These weren't my cheap type of fun. These tickets weren't cheap.
Yeah. I'd rather go watch a cover band at Chuggers in Streetsboro, but since I can't do that because I have small kids, yeah, and I'm spending a hell of a lot more money, like, yeah, I'm going to go and I'm going to have fun with this. And I think you should too. If you, I don't know. I think your wife, as somebody who's been drinking with you many times and knows that you you know when to turn it off, I don't know. I think she's unnecessarily nervous about it for whatever reason.
Well, you trust me more, yeah, than perhaps she does.
I don't mean to, because I've been around you. I can mention one time. You tend to be a loud talker when you drink, which is coming from me, by the way. You tend to be a loud talker, so you, every now and then, I'm going, shut up. That person is right over there. You're so loud. Shut up. But that's only happened like twice.
Especially
in
when
my
I get in gossip mode.
Yes. Yeah. That's only happened like twice.
Oftentimes talking about the people who are one table over. So the thing,
he wants to start an argument, is what he wants to do.
Are you flasking it in there?
No, I'm not going there. Like, I don't expect to see anybody like belligerent, right? First of all, they will sell alcohol, will they?
I don't know.
If they're smart, they will.
They do it every other show at Playhouse Square. Yeah. You go to a comedy show, which you really shouldn't be getting drinking all that
much,
because you got to keep
leaving.
What's the
drink minimum at the Wiggles, Anthony?
You know how many dads are going to be going to this thing tonight, and they're going to go into that. They're going to go into that theater, and they're going to, oh, they sell booze here. You're going to clean up on the booze.
Yeah, you would think so. Up. And we're doing a dinner before. We're going to a place in Ohio City, so we're going to hit that. Get down. Hopefully, we keep telling Izzy. She seems like she's not that excited at all.
Not going to be. Until you walk through the door.
Right. Is she going to... Well, we didn't get the best tickets.
Never mind. She'll hate you.
We were late. We're too late. This thing sold. All the good tickets were gone. So we're going to be up.
You couldn't call somebody you know?
You know what? I don't know when I want to use my favors. And this was not the one I wanted to use my favor on. Like, I try to save those. We've worked with people who have thought every event was the time to cash in on the favors.
Yeah.
I let a year go
by.
Funny,
I'm not the one
favors.
Saying it on the air, but I'm not the one who wasn't invited.
Okay. Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Okay. Anyway, So I'll just put the safety back on that one. Go have fun. And if you want to, again, don't get belligerent, but you're fine. You're you. You'll be perfectly fine. I'd be surprised. I want to know whether or not they do sell booze at it. I'd be surprised if they don't.
I would put money that they're not going to sell booze.
Okay. Are they doing merch?
Really?
Do you think we're going to get...
Oh, they're going to merch it.
They're going to merch your ass off, dude.
So I'm leaving with Wiggles gear. I'm spending over $100
on Wiggles
gear.
If you don't walk in with a new Wiggles hoodie tomorrow, then
and you know,
what are we even doing a show for?
It's going to be the Wiggles Lululemon collaboration that you never knew existed, and it's now $150.
Of course. You're going to be spending some money. You're going to get a T-shirt, God knows what else. About last night, coming up in like 10 minutes here. Also, Aditi Kinkaball is going to join us at 8:02. Are the Browns wasting your time? Is your time wasted? What are you laughing at? Stop laughing. I see what people are doing with the pictures of us in Wiggles uniforms. Twitter reactions brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. 7:30 and 19 seconds for those scoring at home. Are we wasting Browns fans' time by starting Joe Flacco? There's some people say absolutely not. They're in it to win it. I think that you got to go with your head right now and go, do you believe right now that any one of these guys is going to be your future quarterback, is going to be your future franchise? You can hope all you want. I'm not asking if you're not hoping. I'm not questioning you as a Browns fan and saying that if you think your time is being wasted, you're not a Browns fan. No. Evaluate what I'm saying. Use your head. Do you feel your time is wasted by starting a 40-year-old quarterback in a season where no one's picking you to go to the playoffs? Do you feel your time is wasted when you're starting a 40-year-old quarterback and you have a guy who's an also-ran? All right, I wouldn't feel like my time is wasted, but you also have a third and a fifth-round pick. See, I'll still spin it and say, I think to the general fan, I don't think they want to admit it. I think they do. I think the guy at the corner at the stoplight right now on Wallings Road is sitting there thinking, yeah, my time is being wasted by that. But I'll spin it and say, no, if he's able to, I wouldn't advocate for Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders to be the week one starter at all. You know where I stand on that. I think there's a path, but I wouldn't advocate for it. And I don't think they should. There's nothing wrong with me saying, hey, they kept the seat warm. And if Shedeur Sanders is able to step up, or Dillon Gabriel, either one of these guys is able to step up, show that they can lead, show that they can conduct an offense, that the other guys around them can trust them, and they can do that in enough games to make you change your mind about the first round next year, hey, you've used your time very, very wisely. Very wisely. Because you've won some games, the right people are maybe in charge, and then you don't have to use that pick. I don't know how much time is going to be there for them, but that's up to the quarterbacks. That's not up to the Browns.
It's just
they got to go out there and they have to supersede. They have to go out and get past expectations.
I know we'll get to the phones here. I know this is weird to say because Pickett is like the one that I was so not interested in. And obviously we have a track record of, you know, ragging on him when he was in Pittsburgh, despite what Nathan Zagura says is a winning record in his starts. At the same time, Kenny, it's like, Joe Flacco is definitely not going to be the starting quarterback the following year.
No.
So what are you looking to get out of Joe Flacco starting for an extended period of time at all?
I would imagine.
Even if I think he gives him the best chance to win tomorrow, which some people disagree with, but even if I thought he gives us the best chance to win tomorrow, what are you working towards ultimately?
Stability, know-how, respect in a front part of the schedule that's tough. That's what you want to do. They're all NFL teams. They're all tough. But I do think there's a difference in starting week one than starting in week four.
Well, do you think he's way better than Kenny Pickett? Because Kenny Pickett can do that too, right? He can navigate you through the tough part of the schedule.
I don't know if he can. I don't know if he has the wherewithal.
Then why is
Joe,
he here?
I trust
then,
to have the
then
head.
What was the point in bringing him
I don't
him
know, because I think that they're trying. I think in whatever way, Kevin seems to like Kenny Pickett and thinks that he can really spin it. I have no idea why the hell he's here. I wouldn't have traded for the guy. You're arguing with the wrong person.
I didn't mean to flippantly yell at you about it.
I didn't mean to flippantly yell at you about it.
Not on the night that we're going to the Wiggles.
Kenny Pickett is tearing the show apart. Tony in Mansfield, you're first up on the fan. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay, Tony. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I got two things real quick. Just because I was looking on the Odyssey app last night with you guys. Yeah, and just real quick, this is about Jason Day. Yeah, he's a big Ohio State fan and Browns fan. I don't know why he said that, what he said
last
night.
Well, if you're a big Ohio State fan, then just say you're a big Ohio State fan and steer clear of the Browns and Steelers. That's fine. That's fair. If you,
I know.
If you're a college football first fan, then that's cool.
I know. I don't know why I said it. I went to school with Ellie and they met up at the Firestone. She was working at the...
Congratulations on all your success.
So I'll tell you this, Tony. Tony, I got DM'd and messaged. I cannot tell you how many restaurants people claim where Jason Day and his wife met. Like everything from Bob Evans to yours truly to Howard Johnson's to Red Barn, it's all there.
Yeah.
It's all there.
She lived like two houses down from me. So yeah, went to school with her anyway.
Well, wait, you lost a face off to the golfer. You can't just do that on the phone. Tom and Menner, you're next up on the fan. Lord Almighty.
Here's her social security number.
Uncle Kenny, without a doubt, I'm so sorry you haven't got that job with the Guardians yet, but keep trying. The point I want to get to is this. What are you going to do?
What? I got one guy starting to yawn on the phone, and then I got Tom accusing me of what? What job with what team?
Remember you were shilling, 2 weeks ago for the Guardians job, front office, announcer, whatever the case was, and you were really shilling for them? We talked about it.
You know who their announcer is? What are you talking about? What are you saying?
The point that I'm trying to get at is, you know, I love talking about the Browns over here because, again, thanks to everybody over there at 92.3 The Fan, I got my Super Bowl tickets again this year. But my question for you is this. What are we going to go ahead and do if Flacco comes out and he winds up leading us to 4-2, 5-3? I think all this talk and all of this verbatim that we're putting out over here about, oh, Pickett, again, who even knows who's going to be on the team? But, again, I still want to come back to, I think the third-round pick with Dylan Gabriel was the most obscure pick in the world,
yes.
Especially if what we think is going to happen next year is going to go ahead and happen next year. I just don't understand. Either that or they're just going to go ahead and gut the room. Dylan is going to go ahead and be either the starter next year and hold the seat for Arch or whoever we're going to get next year, or they're going to come in and he's just going to be the perennial number two. I'm just kind of stuck on that.
Anybody tanking for Arch Manning is a fool because you don't know what that family's going to decide. Well, I honestly, if you were the Manning family, do you want to be around an organization that would tank for you? Think about it. The teams that have tanked it out over the last decade plus, where are they at? They're still terrible. The teams that are good, how often have they really tanked? Indianapolis had a special situation. The teams that have really, really tanked it out, like Washington was just bad. They were bad for years. They didn't have to tank anything. They got Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels had a great rookie season. Who's tanking for what? I mean, those teams were naturally bad. So if you want to do a 2-year rebuild for Arch Manning, yeah, you wait and find out what his father and his uncles and his grandfather have to say about that. That's a fool's errand. You better be careful about that one.
So much can happen around the globe that we never hear of.
I really share in our fans' disappointment, frustration. Honestly, I'm embarrassed.
They've been through some tough battles, right? They know what the playoffs looks like. This team's been battle-tested in the playoffs.
He's a piece of crap. The kid, he sucks. He's sucked his whole career.
I got rumors about him. I couldn't please his wife, so now he's divorced.
Put a damn winning team on the field.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Last night, Game 5 of the NBA Finals going to the Oklahoma City Thunder, 120-109 over the Indiana Pacers to take a 3-2 series victory as the Pacers really struggled to keep up with the Thunder offensively, including
Tyrese. They certainly struggled to keep up with the Thunder.
Mitch, this was a 2-point game with 7 minutes left.
It was a two-point game with 7 minutes left.
That was with Halliburton being held scoreless when it comes to field goals. That was with Oklahoma City hitting every three imaginable.
Every three imaginable.
45% from three. Indiana could not shoot it well. I also thought Indiana got a terrible whistle in the first half.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Just railroaded you, buddy boy.
I was going to say, I'm sorry. I didn't give TJ McConnell enough credit, but I was going to go over to Halliburton, who had 4 points on the night, all on free throws, dealing with the calf injury, and he was asked if it could affect his status for Game 6.
It's the finals, man. I've worked my whole life to be here, and I want to be out there to compete, help my teammates any way I can. You know, it's not really a thought of mine to not play. If I can, you know, walk, then I want to play.
Now, as much as a hater as I've been on how...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Halliburton during the playoffs.
He's been a Halliburton hater.
It's been quite a run. I will say, if he doesn't play Game 6, and this is obviously not a hot take, series is over.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Glad somebody said it.
But I'm saying that because the Pacers have gotten so much credit for this postseason for being such a team-oriented system.
The Pacers win, then I think it goes to a Game 7.
Finally, someone on the fan has the pills
to
say such a statement.
You know how the national media, like, during halftime. They went off. Stephen A. and Kendrick Perkins went off on Halliburton.
Stephen A. accidentally said that he was glad he was that was tough.
Well, why do I want to hear from ESPN's version of Doyle Brunson talking about basketball all of a sudden? Play your solitaire.
Well, so they go off on him, and then they find out, oh, whoops.
Gotta wear the cowboy hat.
He's injured. So then I wonder, would he be better off not playing at all in game six to avoid that kind of nonsense? Or if he guts it out and plays but then has another game like that, is that going to be considered hurting his team too? Like, what is he supposed to do?
Better have your ass out there. Better have yourself out there.
It's a bad look if you go back home and you can't play.
If you can't play, everybody's going to want to trade you and call you soft and say you're made of glass and that you're not contributing to a winning franchise. That's my experience with a great player in Cleveland. Well, that's my experience. Even if they have surgery.
Little difference between the great players. One's hit four of the signature shots. Who Ken did rush to say could be the face of the league.
I said could be. I mean, didn't say it was going to be.
Who knows? Pacer fans might even accuse Halliburton of faking that potential injury. Now, going over to baseball last night, one of the two returns I mentioned of legends, the other one being Shohei Ohtani, back on the mound for the first time in 2 years since Tommy John's surgery, was asked a question about his return. This is Ohtani via an interpreter.
I'm very grateful for all those staff members, people who supported me throughout this whole progress. I'm very grateful that I'm back here healthy and pitching again.
Now, he only pitched an inning, gave up two hits and one run, made up four with two hits.
Wait, who was that? Was that Ohtani?
That was his interpreter.
His interpreter. His new interpreter.
Oddly
enough, the old interpreter reported to jail yesterday.
No really? Kidding?
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. What an anniversary.
Was that his credo? I will not pitch until they put that man in jail. Here he is.
According to some people who believe that he was the fall man for Shohei Ohtani.
Speculation.
It's not my thought. It's just a little thing we like to call speculation. Now, why is that?
Not going
to
do it.
Go ahead, move on.
No, I was going to say, one of the things that was big about him last night, 100 miles per hour on the gun. So you think Ohtani's back on the mound, he's just got to keep ramping himself up. And the Dodgers finally have a pitcher they can rely on for this 2025 season. And finally, we had some news from Major League Eating yesterday. You heard me right, folks.
Hold on, I got a question.
Yes.
You said they finally have a pitcher they can rely on. He pitched one inning.
I'm saying if he can ramp himself up, then they finally have a pitcher they can rely on.
All right, never mind.
It's like your face of the league comment. Yeah, Context matters.
It's
in
very
this situation.
Interesting because he's a current major league player, so you can't like give him rehab starts or anything in AAA because he's
right.
One of
he's
your best
leadoff hitters.
So you can't like send him down to the minors. Like, all right, we'll see you in a few weeks.
Somebody here asked if they could bring him out of the bullpen.
I asked if he could be a closer someday. Yes. Could he do that?
I mean, John Smoltz can transition.
I mean, he hit 100 on the gun.
Yeah.
Okay, but how does that work? You stay out in the bullpen, like in between the innings that you're hitting. Like how does that work?
No, you just bring him in like a little league baseball.
It's time to bring back the bullpen carts.
Yeah, high school they always run from the dugouts back to the bullpen and everything.
So much fun. He is so much fun.
Absolutely. Going from Major League Baseball back to Major League Eating. We had some news yesterday regarding 16-time hot dog eating champion Joey Chestnut reaching a deal to return to the Nathan's contest next month. Here's Chestnut yesterday via TMZ Sports.
We learned from our mistakes, maybe. Last year, we kind of both sides dug in our heels. I was working with a company that they didn't think I should be working with, and we just kind of met in the middle. I think when communication breaks down, bad things happen. So we started talking again, and then we got figured out.
Don't you love that he has a team? He has a whole team, and now he's questioning whether or not he was in the wrong, had the wrong organization leading the charge.
Contrary to what people believe about me, because I know what I look like, I'm disgusted by competitive eating.
You've been on record.
I've been on record about it, but he's a lot of fun. He's a great quote. He has a lot of fun with it. It's just something that people seem to like. They dig him. They dig that an American has it. It's just innocent. So good for him. Congratulations for him being back in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
What happened to Kobayashi?
He just kind of went away from the competition. Had that meltdown on the stage a few years ago.
Is he basically turned into the David Duval? Competitive eating.
He and Chestnut had the big rival.
He and Chestnut had the big Netflix battle last year when Chestnut couldn't compete in this contest.
Did anybody watch that?
I assume so. They've hyped it up on Netflix for a number of weeks.
They hype up a lot of things on Netflix for a number of weeks. It's Netflix. That's true. I don't know how many people watched it. Did you watch it, Mitch?
I don't think
so
I did.
So no one in this room watched it?
So I used to have to fill in on July 4th on TV, and the only thing to show every year was this.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ugh, it was this. So you were so getting gross. Extended highlights, not just your pedestrian run-of-the-mill highlights. You were getting comprehensive team coverage. So we would show the announcer, who was very theatrical.
He's fun.
Just like, by the way, the NBA did yesterday. Hey, we're going to show the full lead up to the game.
It took you over a decade. But why they decided to make the NBA Finals, which is like the highlight of any television package, I don't know why they decided for so many years to make it just a regular old game.
By the way, on another note.
Yeah, what?
So, Barrett Sports Media, listen up and listen up loudly.
Just trying to get written about. And they're not going to write about you anymore. It's
well,
over.
Well, we'll see.
Our new segment, Listen Up. We'll
see. What if I told you that the NBA is the only sport where the clear best play-by-play guys are not doing the biggest games? Meaning Kevin Harlan, Ian Eagle are the best. I don't even think there's a big debate. Right now, they are the best in basketball, yet can't sniff an NBA Finals.
Well, they don't work for the right company, bud.
I know. I'm just saying, when does that happen? Like, NFL, it rotates, so we get everybody. Now, baseball, people would argue that Joe Buck. But I would say Joe Buck, over time, has become the voice of big game baseball.
Is he the best in baseball now for big games?
Well, he doesn't do baseball anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's Joe Davis.
Yeah, I
like him.
Is he the best, though? Is Joe Davis the best? He's really good.
Vasgersian was up there for a while, but he wasn't doing the big, big games.
No.
And then TBS had that rotating.
Hold on. Who is the best? Who is the best baseball right now?
Brian Anderson's pretty good.
I think he's excellent at basketball, and he's understated.
Matt Vasgersian's pretty good.
Yeah.
Shriffin.
When Shulman was doing games, Shulman was great.
Dan Shulman. You know what? Dan Shulman was great at everything.
Yeah.
He's kind of been... What happened to Shulman?
I think he's doing Blue Jays
games. Nobody
cares
about college basketball anymore. He did a bunch of big college basketball games. That's it.
That's it?
I'm just saying. If we really want to make it...
My man did the segment for him.
If we really want to make it the biggest event, got to have the best guys. Breen is really good. Really good. Nobody has a bad thing to say about Breen. He's not the best, though.
Well, yeah, but Ian Eagle and Kevin Harlan work for a different company, so they can't just take it over. These it's not the Super Bowl. Well, they don't.
These guys change companies. Joe Buck changed.
It's time to get rid of the dunk contest and bring in the play-by-play contest.
All right, would you rather
winner gets to call the final?
Would you rather have Ian Eagle do the finals of the NCAA tournament because he's now the voice of the NCAA tournament?
Like Marv Albert was the best guy forever, and then unfortunately he had his off the mic issues. And so that was it. And then
that happened when we were small children.
Right. But remember, Marv Albert was the guy doing all the biggest games.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.